Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about a topic that is difficult for many people to consider, and that is suicide. How do we prevent suicide? Are there trigger points that we should be aware of? Tonight we talk with a representative of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and the Out of Darkness Walk that they are sponsoring on Sunday, October 7th, in Allentown. My guest this evening is Jim Presto. He is a co-chair of the American, he's a co-chair of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and the Out of Darkness Walk that they are sponsoring on Sunday, October 7th in Allentown. Jim Presto lost his son, Josh, at 19 years of age due to suicide. And since then, he has focused his efforts on sharing the message of AVEDM, volunteering with American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and helping students, families, and anyone else that will listen to understand it is okay to reach out for help. He also coordinates the Education Committee, presenting free trainings such as Talk Save Lives, teaching the community about suicide. And it is really a pleasure to welcome to Take Charge of Your Life, Jim Presto.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight.
Jim, how did you become involved in this organization?
Well, as you mentioned, in February of 2014, we had a tragedy strike our family, and that was we lost Josh. And we lost Josh to suicide. You know, what Josh, we realized after the fact, like a lot of families do, is that Josh suffered from depression. He wasn't very forthcoming with his illness, and, you know, he fell at that point. He had lost hope, and he had no other place to turn.
And how old? He was 19?
He was 19.
And where was he at that time? Was he working? Was he in college?
Yes, he went to school. He was in this the spring of his freshman year when he went to school.
And how did this impact the family?
It actually has, I guess the best way to describe it has turned our life upside down. We continue to live with it. We will continue to live with this loss. You know, when you lose somebody to suicide, you know, we lose people in our lives to losses, to death. When you lose somebody to suicide, it's my opinion, and it just seems to be ringing true with anybody I have met that has lost somebody to suicide, is that the emotions are amplified much greater. And the example that I always give is the example of guilt. When you lose somebody to suicide, there are a lot of unanswered questions. There may be a note. There may not be a note. But there are a lot of unanswered questions. There's a lot of people out there that feel that they could have done something, such as myself, and I live with this every day. My wife lives with it every day. What could we have done to help Josh so that he wouldn't have lost hope, so that he wouldn't have come to that decision that he made on that day in February?
And what did you learn about Josh's situation that led him to this way of dealing with whatever he was dealing with?
So to give you a little background to Josh, and you know, some of the things that we'll probably talk about with risk factors and warning signs that I've learned now, that I know now, if I'd known them, I personally feel that I could have probably helped him to the point of possibly saving his life. So Josh, you know, graduated from high school in 2012 from Nazareth. He played football. The team was very successful. Josh was very active, had a lot of friends. His grades were very good. He went on to college. At the end of his fall, freshman year, he actually called home and said he had some tightness in the chest, in his chest, and he wasn't sure what it was. But it was finals time. You know, it was the end of the semester. So we thought it could be pressure. So he went and saw the doctor. Well, the doctor prescribed Xanax, which was fine. And he came home. Everything worked out. His grades were good for the semester. But to understand it, Josh was one of those individuals that when he was sick, you know, he didn't like laying around. He wanted to get up and going. When he went back to school in the springtime, he actually took some Xanax, and then he introduced some alcohol. With any of the medical profession, know that that's not a good thing. He ended up in the hospital. We got a call from the hospital. We went to the hospital, and there for probably the first time, we thought that something was going wrong with Josh and that he was suffering from more than what he was telling us, is because what the doctor told us is when he came in that he talked about being a failure and a burden to his family. So you don't know me from Adam, but I have three kids. They're all different. Every life experience that they have in our family is called the bumps in the road of life. There is nothing. We don't ever talk about being a failure. There's never a talk about a burden. So then Josh was actually evaluated and released by their behavioral health unit. And I will tell you that from that day in January to July, Josh went from Xanax to heroin. And, you know, that when I looked at that, and I can tell you that in that July of 2013, where I thought I had a son that had an addiction problem, my son was actually self-medicating. He was actually using the drugs to escape his reality. And then his reality was described to me after I lost Josh, because I learned a lot after the fact. When I lost Josh, is that if you put yourself in a room, and the room has no windows or no doors, and the lights are off, and you're in complete darkness, if you suffer from depression, that's the life you live. Because if you met my child, if you met Josh, you would have understood that he was the kind of kid that had his whole future ahead of him. He had a bright future ahead of him.
What was he planning to do?
He was going to study in exercise science. He wanted to open up his own gym. I wanted to invest in my son's future. But when you're in that box and you are in complete darkness, the best description, you can't see an hour in front of you. You can't see a week in front of you, let alone see what your future is going to hold. And, you know, that's kind of the life that my son lived in. And like I said, where I thought I was treating a child with a drug addiction, he was trying to self-medicate just for 24 hours just to escape what that dark room was like.
So he was using drugs to help pave the way and see some light in his life, which he could not see because he was in total darkness.
Correct. That's what the disease of depression does. It puts somebody in a total dark room.
Where was he when he took his life?
He was home.
He was home.
He was home.
And who discovered him?
I did.
That must have been a tremendous... an overwhelming discovery when you made that.
It was very difficult. You know, we don't. It's general practice. You don't talk about the means. You don't talk about any of those kind of details.
Right.
You know, our goal is to help somebody and understand what led to that point, what happened from that point. That, you know, anybody made that decision to do it, is it doesn't matter at that point, right?
And where did you find help for yourself?
A few months later, my wife actually found the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. So we were just searching for help because we knew of nothing out there that was available. And she found the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I can tell you that I had a lot of questions, and I picked up the phone and I had somebody live answer the phone from AFSP, and they talked to me for 45 minutes and just... Talked to me about what they do, gave me some understanding of what I was feeling, some validation of what I was feeling, and it kind of put me on the first path to kind of helping myself.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Eleanor Barbaro. And this evening, I'm talking with Jim Presto from the Greater Lehigh Valley Chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And we were just talking about the impact of your son's death on the family. Mm-hmm. How did you and your wife cope?
We actually coped the best way we could. We kind of leaned a lot on each other. We did have a lot, not like everybody, but we had the absolute support of our community and our family. You know, it's very difficult to move on with it. I still don't tell you that I can move on with it. Like I said, it's with us every single day. And then we actually got involved with the chapter, and we met people that have also suffered similar losses. So we were able to talk to those people, because unless you've suffered from a loss due to suicide, you don't quite understand all the emotions and the magnitude of those emotions.
Now, you have two other sons.
I have a son and a daughter.
A son and a daughter.
Right.
How are they coping?
They're coping okay. You know, we made sure that they had, you know, we paid attention to them to make sure that if they were suffering or feeling anything, that they would be able to talk about it to anybody. And, you know, so far so good. It's a little over 4 years, and so far I think they're doing okay.
So how does the Lehigh Valley chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention help families deal with this tragedy in their lives?
So one of the priorities for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is loss and healing. Under loss and healing becomes, to directly answer your question, we do the Out of Darkness Walk, which is a walk that is dedicated to survivors of suicide loss, where they can come in one day for a few hours and bring their families and friends, and they could share memories. A lot of them make shirts in memory of their lost loved ones, and they walk. It's a 5K, 3-mile walk. But more to the point is they can actually meet other people in the community that have suffered similar losses. And our hope is that they meet somebody and make friends with them, that maybe after the walk they talk on the phone, they have a cup of coffee, because when they're having a bad day, and they will have bad days, that they can meet somebody. And last year, we had in excess of 1,500 people at our walk.
Oh.
So it was a great thing for a lot of people to come out, but it also is a little disheartening because suicide touches so many people.
Yeah, that's amazing that amount of people came out. Mm-hmm. And that the other thing is that you have an organization that is there to help people in their time of need.
Yep.
That there's a resource, because once this takes place in one's family, we become lost.
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing where to turn for help, and often looking inward and blaming ourselves. And I think that's something that we're going to talk about when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
If you are a Golden Age folky and love the music of Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan, Judy Collins, Joan Baez, and the Kingston Trio, WDIY is the place to be on Monday nights. From 7 to 9 p.m. on folk classics, all of that great music from the late 1940s to the late 60s will fill the airwaves, and we will welcome your ideas about the artists and songs you'd like to hear. Folk Classics, Mondays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on WDIY.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Barbaro, your host. And this evening we're talking with Jim Presto, who is the co-chair of the board of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. He also coordinates the Education Committee, presenting free trainings such as Talk Saves Lives, teaching the community how to talk about suicide and prevent it, and become aware of problems that are maybe in the family, maybe that youngsters are facing, and how to recognize them. So tell us, Jim, how has your organization been taking a proactive approach on bringing suicide to the attention of schools, of the community, so that people can face it rather than ignore it?
So understand that we have, a few years ago, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention put a goal out there of reducing suicide by 20% by 2025. And this is one of the priorities is through education. So educating the community on how to talk about it, you know, understanding how bad it is. So we talk about statistics, we talk about risk factors and warning signs, and then we talk about how to talk about it. So we have a few basic programs. You mentioned Talk Saves Lives. Talk Saves Lives is geared towards the community so that we can talk through the community. And again, it talks about statistics, risk factors, warning signs, and just the ability to talk about it, because suicide is still has a lot of stigma tied to it. It's taboo to talk about. I don't want to talk about it because if I say something, then I'll plant a seed. Well, research will show you that bringing it up and asking the question does not plant the seed, because if somebody's already thinking about taking their life, it's already there. All you're trying to do is bring it out and have them openly discuss it, because if somebody's truly in crisis and you're asking them these questions, they really, research again will only show you that people who are in crisis, all they want is somebody to listen to them. Somebody to listen to them, validate their feelings, not try to fix their problems, but just listen to them. So we that's our goal, is try to educate them. So we have Talk Saves Lives, which is focused towards the community. And then we have a program called More Than Sad, which in the state of Pennsylvania is actually approved under the educational program under Act 71, which requires schools to have 4 hours of suicide prevention education over a period of 5 years. Within More Than Sad, we have a program dedicated towards training faculty members and administration. We have a program dedicated towards putting in the curriculum. They have the ability to put in their curriculum for students. And then we have part of that presentation is also for parents.
And you go into the schools.
We do. We've gone into the schools and we've done all three of these programs. We did one school startup. Obviously, we got a number of calls to do More Than Sad for the faculty members. And then we have a few schools that actually have gone to the extra step, and they've taken More Than Sad and put it in, say, their health class curriculum for ninth graders. Mm. And I can tell you that, you know, for as much information as we can get because of the confidentiality, we have gotten a number of schools that talk about where they've shown this, which is primarily, there's a video content to that, and talking about four children from four different walks of life and how they all have suffered from some form of depression. And we've had calls from a few of the schools that have said a number of kids, after they've seen that video or attended that class, that they've actually come out and self-indicated, which means they've come out and asked for help, which is ultimately our goal, right? We just want to reach the people that are suffering in silence, like my child, and come out and reach for help.
Well, that is outstanding. Now, you're active in the Lehigh Valley.
Our chapter actually covers Lehigh County, Northampton County, Berks County, Monroe County, and Carbon County. So we cover five counties.
Well, that is outstanding. It's really a very much needed program that you're facilitating. So do you go into the junior high, the high school?
Right now, the program for is primarily targeted at the high schools.
At the high
school. We don't have a age-appropriate one for the junior high or even the elementary. But I can tell you that learning through the process, the earliest we can reach out to children, because a lot of that is helping them have the ability to develop coping skills. And because they are exposed to a lot more things today than when I grew up. So helping them to develop coping skills so that when they hit life stressors that they have that ability to do that. So research will tell you that as far as if we can reach closer down into even the elementary schools, that we can help and prevent suicides later on in life.
So this is a prevention program and making students and young people aware of problems that they may be facing, and giving them alternative ways of solving the problems and resources that they can use in the community. Is that accurate?
No. We are educating the community in the sense that creating the problem. We are a volunteer organization. We couple our efforts with a professional organization. So that of what a lot of what you describe will then be when somebody comes out and asks for help, then the professional organization will step in. And there's when you talk about schools or even community members, when we do Talk Saves Lives, we always ask for we need a behavioral health professional sitting in the room, or a few sitting in the room, because it is a difficult topic and people may need some help and they may be leaving the room or coming out and asking for help. So we always partner with somebody that is a
So when you give these programs in the schools, there is a professional member, a professional staff member, such as a psychologist or guidance counselor or a psychologist.
Always.
So they're always present.
Always.
That is excellent.
Always.
Have you received any feedback on the impact of this program?
Other than what I had mentioned about we had a few of them with the schools that some of the kids have come forward and asked for help, which is our goal.
Your program is making an impact, because if young people come forward and ask for help, that's a big step. That's step one in saving their lives.
It is. And our goal, and if you've met anybody within our chapter, they freely talk about the suicide. Some of them have, different levels of degrees or different degrees of difficulty talking about their life and their loss. But we all talk about it, because the more we talk about it, the more we educate people, the more lives we can possibly save.
And talk about the you also work with veterans. Do you also impact veterans organizations?
Well, the veteran group, we lose 22 veterans a day to suicide. It's a part of the part of our demographics that we lose way too many. I mean, losing one is losing way too many. And what we did is we decided that, when somebody's suffering from depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, in a lot of cases, they don't want to come out for help, but then we encourage them to come out for help. But even if they do come out for help, some of the agencies and organizations that are available to them for help are not as readily accessible or as, easily found. So at our walk this year on October 7th in Lehigh Parkway, we actually have invited and we have confirmed 12 to 14 veteran-specific agencies. So we're going to use our walk as an opportunity for our veterans, our local veterans, to come out and meet some of these agencies that they may not have known about. So our VA will be there. Our Red Cross will be there. But there are dog tags will be there. There's a number of veteran agencies that are going to come out and are going to participate in our walk. And the goal for that is so that we can possibly hook some of our veteran community who have suffered in the darkness, and that we hope that they come out and at least meet some of these agencies, so that if they have a current issue that they can address, or maybe sometime down in the future, they'll know there's other agencies out there that can help them.
So you're making connection with veterans who often are just as children and just as young people, may want to be in denial, but you're bringing this out into the open and providing them with resources to help them and help them become aware of difficulties they may be having, and for resources that are available to them in the community.
That's correct. And just so we understand that suicide will touch all walks of life from all different categories in life, all different financial brackets in life, and it will touch many different age groups. I mean, it is the statistics on it is the 10th leading cause of loss of life nationally. But what you see on TV, in the news, in the world of homicides, is actually 16th. So we are losing more souls to suicide than we are to what we see on TV every day. But because of the stigma associated with suicide, you don't really hear a whole lot about it. Mm. But we are absolutely losing in most to all demographics, all age groups that the CDC lists. We are losing more people to suicide than what you see on TV every day.
And the number that you gave of veterans committing suicide every day is overwhelming. And how can people, if people want to connect with you and walk, join the walk on October 7th, the Out of Darkness Walk, which is going to be held Sunday, October 7th in Allentown, how can they register?
You can easily go on to the website. So the website is AFSP, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. So it's afsp.org/GLVWalk. And that'll take you right to the walk page where you can register. You can register as an individual, or then you can take a group of individuals and register as a team. And we have probably, I think we're running at about 150 teams right now.
When you say 150 teams, what do the teams consist of?
The teams are groups of families and friends of lost loved ones. So like my son's team is Spread Sunshine for Josh, and we probably will have 7 or 8, 10 team members, part of the family, that will be part of that team. So you register as an individual, but then if you're walking in tribute to a lost loved one, you can actually create a team with a team name that pays tribute to that loved one, and then you will all be part of their team.
Well, you know, it sounds like it does a couple of things. Number one, it gives recognition to the person that you've lost. And number two, it gives solace and support to family members who have had to deal with this. And this is a very important aspect of this march. Can you tell us where the march will take place?
The march takes place, again, like you mentioned, it takes place on October 7th. The registration starts at 10 a.m. Our opening ceremony starts at 12 o'clock, and the walk starts immediately after the opening ceremonies. And that's at Lehigh Parkway.
Lehigh Parkway.
In Allentown.
In Allentown.
Correct.
All right. So this is an opportunity to gain support and to help people understand that there are services out there and that they're not alone.
That's correct. I mean, that whole not alone. So when somebody suffers from depression, you want them to know that they're not alone, and you want them to reach out for help. Part of one of our priorities is the loss and healing and the survivors of suicide loss is to let them know they're not alone. The walk is one of those events that we hold to let people know that have lost a loved one to suicide, a friend, a family, that they're not alone either, that there is help. And there are other people out there that you can reach out to.
And also by joining forces, you're showing that there are ways that you not only support one another, but you're also supporting an organization that is looking to prevent suicides in the future. And that's important.
Yes. I can tell you that the walk is a fundraiser. And last year we had in excess of 1,500 people in the walk. And those people did some very amazing fundraising because we raised a little over $95,000.
Oh.
And all that money, goes into the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. 50% of that money actually stays here in the community for our educational programs, for our outreach programs. We have 50% of that money raised stays right here in the community so that we can do suicide prevention and outreach to survivors.
Well, I want to thank you, Jim Presto, co-chair of the board of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, for helping us to understand that suicide, which is a painful subject, is possible to prevent. And thank you for helping us to understand that there are things that we may look for in behavior of those we love to clue us in on how to prevent suicide. If you would like more information about the upcoming Out of the Darkness Walk to be held on Sunday, October 7th, please connect with The website
is afsp.org/GLVWalk.
I want to thank you, Jim Presto, for helping us to take charge of our lives on WDIY. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.